Okay, today's daf is Lamed Vav. We're going to start the fourth parak, Shor Shanagach. But first we're going to finish up from Lamed Hey Amud Bet. Okay, just to review, we saw this Mishnah with a lot of Sveikot. A shore is attacking another shore, and then the shore dies, but we don't know, did he die from the shore, or did he die from a rock? Or two Shvarim are chasing a shore, and we don't know which one killed and which one's responsible. So we saw all different cases. And the first thing we said was that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba comes and says the Chalukin alav chavirav al sumchus damar mamonu mutabas hafeik chulkin. Okay, and then Abba bar Mama says to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar sumchus afilu bari ubari. Did sumchus really say his example? We talked about sumchus says in a case with a para and her ubara on the side, and we don't know, was the ubar dead before or after the animal attacked her. But would Sumchus say the same thing even in a Bari Ubari case? And he says yes. Sumchus would agree that even if each claim says, yes, I know for sure this happened, and the other one says, yes, I know for sure this happened, that we're going to say, Maman Hamuta Basafek Cholkin. Okay, now, I just wanted to add one thing. Right, so Abba Bar Mama thought that maybe we should distinguish between the cases, and Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, no, we don't. Okay, so now we're going to say, I'm just going to go back a little bit, okay? So we're in about the middle of the page. How do we know that the Mishnah is Bari Ubari? Okay, that's how we know. So Matkif La Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, Midiresha Bari Ubari, Seifa Nami Bari Ubari. And how could that be? Because how could the Seifa be Bari Ubari? What's going to be our problem? In the case where Hayah Chag Gadol Vechag Katan, and the Nizak Omer Gadol Izik, Umazak Omer Loki Ela Katan Izik, Echad Tam V'Echad Muad, or the second case where one is Tam and one is Muad, and the Nizak says, Muad Hizik, because he wants to pay, he wants to get paid more, and the Mazik says, Loki Ela Tam Hizik, because he only wants to pay half damages. Hamotzi Mechavir Ala Avharaya. Right? What's the halacha in the Mishnah? You have to prove it. So now what's the assumption? If you don't bring proof, what do we assume is the case of the Mishnah? Halo Maitiraya, Shakyo Kida Amar Mazik, right? That we're going to go based on what the Mazik said. So the Mazik, let's say in the second case, said, oh, they took all my markers, they're on the kitchen table. The Mazik said it was a Tam, so he's going to pay based on the Tam, right? Now, if you say that, right, if we assume it's Bari Ubari, so the Mazik says Bari, it was a Tam, and the Nizak says clearly, right, Bari, it was a Muad. So the assumption is what would happen? The Mishnah doesn't say this, right? The Mishnah just says the burden of proof lies on him. But if we say Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, that's the shortened version of Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, then if you don't bring proof, what's our assumption? That the Mazik pays as if it was a Tam. Now, if you're going to say it's Bari Ubari, that can't be. Or at least it can't be according to, it's going to raise a problem. Name a Tavi Tiyuvta to Rabba Bar Natan. Because what did he say? And that's where we ended off yesterday with this. Ta'anu chitim v'hodalo b'seorim patur. If one side says chitim, okay, just like in our case, one side said muad, and the other side says seorim, a cheaper thing, right? So he admits that it was seorim, but not chitim. He admits that there was something he borrowed or he owes him, but he admits that it was something different. Just like here, he admits it was a tam and not a muad. So according to Rabba Bar Natan, what do we say? Since this is not mimin hata'ana, we're talking apples and oranges, right? Pitim and sa'orim. We're talking tam and muad, two different things. So what would the halacha be? If it's bari ubari, patur. Okay, because he says, if he claims chitim and he admits sa'orim, he's admitting something different than the guy claimed, then he's patur. So, ela, it must be bari v'shema. So now they want to know if it's Bari and Shema, so who's Bari and who's Shema? Okay, this is where I got a little tripped up yesterday. I'm going to explain it better now. Okay. So, Ela Bari v'Shema de ka'amar, so, sorry. De ka'amar Bari man and de ka'amar Shema man. Which one's Bari, which one's Shema? Inema de ka'amar Nizak Bari. Okay, let's say it was the Nizak who said Muad, he's Bari in his claim. Okay, he's clear in his claim. V'ka'amar Mazik Shema. And the Mazik only says Shema. So let's take it to the Chitim Sorim case. If someone says, you owe me Chitim, and the other guy says, maybe I owe you Sorim, well, for sure, he's not going to have to pay. Because he doesn't have any clear, 1 second.
The Mazik doesn't have to pay?
Sorry. Right. No. Yeah. Right. So this is, 1 second. Doesn't, even the Nizak, Right. Because he says, maybe it's Se'orim. If he says definitely it's Se'orim, then maybe we make him pay Se'orim. And on that, Rabbi Bar Natan said it was...
It's maybe Se'orim, if anything.
Right. It's maybe Se'orim, if anything. So now, if he's not even admitting to anything, okay? So even, in other words, even the Nizak doesn't think it was Se'orim. And he thinks maybe it's Se'orim. So that's not enough proof. Remember, let's say the guy didn't say anything, and the guy just said, you owe me chitim. Well, he has no proof, right? So, hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So, if the guy claims se'orim vadai, so maybe then there would be a question. Well, since he's admitting to something, well, maybe we make him claim what he admits. And on that, Rabbi Bar Natan says, no, we don't, because he's not admitting to what the guy was claiming. But for sure, if he's not even admitting clearly, and he's saying, maybe, then we have the motzi mechavero, who has zero proof, who's claiming something. The other guy's saying, maybe, but certainly not that, something else. And the nizak, or in this case, the guy who's claiming chitim, never said he owes him se'orim. Or the guy who thinks he, you know, the guy who said it was a shor mu'ad, well, he wasn't thinking he was a shor tam. In other words, he was mochel on that. Like, he doesn't think it was a shor tam. So the fact that this guy says, maybe it's a shor tam, is certainly not going to make him obligated to pay. The only time we think maybe he was obligated to pay is if he said something definitively. Okay, so that's going to be the next case. So therefore, they're going to say, okay, so now, if it's Inema de Ka'amar Nizak Bari Vaka'amar Mazik Shema, that's the case we just said, Akati Lema Tavitivta de Rabba Bar Natan. It would still be a question to Rabba Bar Natan because for sure you would assume that the guy's going to be. Right, because we're going to...
The Nizak is saying Shema and the Mazik is saying Bari.
If the Nizak is Bari and the Mazik is Shema, then it would still be... What? No, I was reading back. Inema de Ka'amar Nizak Bari, Bekamar Mazik Shema, Akati Lema Tavitiyuvta de Rabba Bar Natan. That would still be a problem because... 1 second. Sorry, got my step on something again. Or confused by this. Okay, 1 second.
Rashi says that the Mazik's claim of Shema is an expression of uncertainty as to whether either animal is responsible.
1 second. So what did I read then that got me confused here? Because, right, it would be, if the Nizak says Bari, no, then it matches what I said yesterday. Okay, sorry. If the Nizak says Bari and the Mazik says Shema, then the Nizak should be able to take from his shore. And that would go against Rabbi Bar Natan, who said that, sorry. What I was explaining was how they explained Rabbi Bar Natan. Okay. In other words, Rabbi Bar Natan would claim that based on this he should be patur because he's not modem yimin hata'ana. But we would assume that if the Nizak is saying Bari and it's Shema, then we would actually claim based on the Bari claim. That would work. And that would pose a problem to what Rabbi Bar Natan said. So, Ela, de ka'amar Nizak Shema, de ka'amar Mazik Bari. It must be that the Nizak had a Shema claim. Okay, he wasn't sure which one it was. And the Mazik is Bari. Right? And then we can say, well, even Rabbi Bar Natan would agree if the Mazik makes a Bari claim and the Nizak was only a Shema, then the Mazik's going to have to pay based on his Bari claim. Okay? So now, but if we say that, what's going to be the problem? When we just say fa Nizak Shema u'Mazik Bari, Reisha Nami Nizak Shema u'Mazik Bari, then we're going to have to assume that the Reisha case is the same. Well, what's the Reisha case? Remember? He says, your shore is attack, your attack mine. And the other guy says, no, it was a rock. Right? The Mazik says it was a rock. So let's say, here. The first guy says it was a shore. And the second guy says it was a rock. Right? The Mazik says it was the end. So in that case, if we're going to say that the Nizak was Shema and the Mazik was Bari, that for sure it was the Evan, and the other guy said no, we're going to say, Ba'amar Sumchus, Afilu Baha, De'itzrich Lashmuinan, Delo, here, what happened? The first comment we had on our Gemara was that first case of the Mishnah is against Sumchus. Sumchus would say, Maman amuta b'safek cholkim. Now in this case, where the mazik is buried, that it was a rock that hit, and the nizak comes and claims Shema, do you think Sumchus is going to say, Maman amuta b'safek cholkim? No. Definitely not. Right? Because he only has a Shema claim, and he's trying to be Motzi Mechavero Kesef, right? In that case, Sumchus would agree that it's a Motzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. And therefore, it can't be that the first case where Sumchus is Cholek and says, Maman Amutav Asafik Cholkim, that we split it 50-50, would be a case where the Nizak's claim is a Shema. It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, what are the answer? Lo, Seifa Nizak Shema Umazik Bari, and Reisha Nizak Bari Umazik Shema, it's Dafka the flip in the Seifa. Okay, so we're going to say the Reisha is one and the Seifa is the other. Okay, so in the case with the rock, it's the owner of the Nizak who says Bari, I know your shore hit, my shore, and the other guy says, well, maybe it was a rock, and then that's the case where we're going to say, in our case, still he needs to prove it, and Sumchus is going to say no. That counts as Maman Amutav Asafek and Cholkim. Okay? By the way, Sumchus doesn't agree in every case that Maman Amutav Asafek Cholkim. He thinks his claim based on certain situations where, like the para, where we don't know exactly what happened, but we know there was a situation, or like our situation. The shore is running after another shore, and then the shore gets attacked. So we know there's some sort of suffix situation, as opposed to what's a different case where Sumchus wouldn't say it. Let's say I have something in my house, and you come and say, hey, by the way, that thing in your house is mine. Do we call that Maman Hamutav Asafek, because I claim it's mine and you claim it's yours? No. Obviously, then it would allow, if we say Maman Hamutav Asafek Cholkim in every case, well then everybody can just go grab something and claim this is mine. So he only talks about it when there's a situation that we already know there's some sort of suffix that exists. And not that the suffix exists because the Baal Din comes and claims that. You follow? So there has to be some sort of situation that already exists. Okay, so now they say, so Seifa Nizak Shema Umazik Bari, Reisha Nizak Bari Umazik Shema. V'halo dam yoresha l'seifa. But now it's not parallel, right? How could you say one is one and one is the other? So Amre, Bari b'shema shema v'bari chab miltahi. Bari b'shema u'bari, Bari shema u'bari train mile ninu. Sorry, I didn't read that right. Chab miltahi, Bari u'bari shema u'bari train mile ninu. If you want to say that the resh is bari in shema and the seifa shema u'bari, or vice versa actually, if you want to say that there's a flip about who is the bari and who is the shema, that is all considered one topic. We have no problem to say this Mishnah is in a case of Shema and Bari, and who's the Shema and who's the Bari is going to flip depending on the circumstances, you know, depending on which case you're talking about. But if you want to say that one is Bari and Shema and the other is Bari u Bari, that's already two different things, and we wouldn't have a Mishnah like that. But it shouldn't bother us. If the Mishnah is all Bari and Shema, it's just a matter of was the Mazik Bari or was the Nizak Bari. That doesn't bother them. Okay. Now we're going to go in depth about the statement of Rabba Bar Natan. Gufa, I'm a Rabba Bar Natan. Ta'anuchi tim v'hodala v'sorim patur. My kamashmalan, Tanina, it already says, why is Rabba Bar Natan telling us this? Already says it in the Mishnah. Ta'anuchi tim v'hodala v'sorim patur. Okay, now, the problem is, in order to understand the context of this Mishnah, the Mishnah is talking about a shvua. It's not talking about a monetary payment. And when we read Rabba Bar Natan, we assumed he's talking about monetary payment. Okay, so there's two things here. Okay, the whole issue of motive and miksat is really an issue for Shavua. Okay, if you claim, let's take the classic motive and miksat. You claim, I owe you 100 shekel, and I say, no, I only owe you 50. That's motive and miksat, and I have to swear that I don't owe you the other 50, and then I'm free. Okay, but I have to swear, and then I don't owe you.
You owe the other 50. You owe 50.
I have to I owe the 50 that I said, and I swear about the other 50. Now, why is this case different? Because 50 is part of 100, right? I agree that there was some sort of loan. Here we're saying you're talking about two different things. You're mixing apples and oranges. You say you owe me apples, and I say I owe you oranges. Then I don't have to. Now, what's Rabba Bar Natan saying? I don't have to pay even what I said, what I admitted. But the Mishnah is saying I don't even have to take a shvua. But the assumption is, if I don't even have to take a shvua, then obviously I also don't need to pay. You follow? Okay, so now, so they're asking, why do you need Rabba Bar Natan to say anything? So, ime hatam hava amina patur mi d'mei chitim v'chayav v'dmei se'orim. Kamash malan de patur legamri. We might have thought that you're patur from paying the chitim, but you might have to actually pay the sowim. It's not clear what that word patur means. So they're going to say it means that you're patur legamri. Tnan, hayu hanizakin shnayim, echad gadol ve'echad katan, v'chule. Okay, so now if that's the case, right, what happens here? The Mishnah said if, well, going back to our Mishnah now, if there were two people that were damaged, one was gadol, one was katan, right, and then what happens? This says it was the katan that hit you, and this says it was the katan that was attacked, and this says it was the gadol that was it was two hanizakin. One second, let's just go back to the Mishnah so I'm not confused in which case this is. Hayu anizakim shnayim, echad gadol v'echad katan, v'amizikim shnayim, echad gadol v'echad katan. Right? There were two ox that damaged and two ox that got damaged. So, the one who has the bigger shore says, my shore attacked your smaller shore. And the one who has the smaller shore said, right, and the nizak said the opposite, because he wanted to get paid the most. So, what's the assumption here? What does it say? Amotzim echaveru alav haraya. So again, what are they going to say? Halo maite raya shakil. This is going to be exactly the same as what we saw before, right? If you don't bring a proof, well then, the nizak can at least get the smaller amount, right? What the other sides are admitting to. He can at least get their claim. Kada amar mazik, amai. But why should that work? Chitim usorim ninu, right? You're comparing two different shvarim. So it should be like chitim and sorim. You're claiming it was that shore and I'm claiming it was a different shore. So what are the answer? And here there's two different interpretations of the statement. Ra'oi litol ve'ein lo. Okay, what does it mean? It means, I'm going to explain it the way, the pshat that seems to me more realistic, which is, in theory, he should get paid whatever the mazik claimed, but in actuality, he can't even get paid that because of the din of Rabba Bar Natan. And so this raises a question on Rabba Bar Natan. How could, again, the assumption we can make from our Mishnah is that he gets paid with the mazik is. Now they're assuming, no, he actually doesn't get paid what the mazik is paying. In other words, what the mazik claims, the mazik actually doesn't have to pay anything here. Even though he should get it, technically speaking, right, because he's at least that, but since it's hodalo b'chi, he was to'en chitim and hodalo b'seorim, he doesn't get any money. Okay, that's one way of interpreting it. Rashi says it differently. Rashi says, ra'oi litol is if he brings proof. Ve'ein lo is if he doesn't bring proof. In other words, if there's no proof, ilo lo mataraya, right, how does he explain it? That if you, one second, I forget Rashi now because it was hard for me to get. Right, if the mazik brings proof, then ra'oi litol. But if he doesn't bring proof, then ein lo, then he doesn't get anything. That's the way he reads it, okay?
What's the difference between the two? I mean, ra'oi litol means he gets the whole thing.
Ra'oi, because according to the Rashi's interpretation, ra'oi litol means he should get some sort of payment, but ein lo, he doesn't get any.
That's
so the bottom line is the same that he doesn't get. No. Ra'oi litol, sorry, maybe you're right, maybe I said it. Okay, Rashi is saying that he's only ra'oi litol if he brings a proof. And if he doesn't bring proof, well, then he doesn't get anything. The second case is saying that, in theory, according to Rashi, she's not ra'oi litol if he doesn't have any proof. According to the first interpretation I brought, he's ra'oi litol even if he doesn't have any proof. He really should still get something. But the fact is, because of Rabbi Natan, the halacha is he doesn't. It's a matter of, potentially speaking, should he really, like not halachically, but conceptually, he really should get paid. And Rashi is saying no. And Rashi's pesha is difficult because ra'oi litol ve'ein lo doesn't sound like it's talking about two different cases. If there's proof, then ra'oi litol, and if there's no proof, then ein lo. Then
he
doesn't get anything.
Because ra'oi litol we knew even before he
said. Right. So it's difficult. It's a difficult reading. Okay, so now they say, wait a minute though. But there's a bright. So right now we're assuming that in the case of our Mishnah, right? Remember, our Mishnah just said he has to bring proof. But what did we assume? We assumed he at least has to pay the minimum, the mazik. Now we're learning he doesn't have to pay the minimum. But now they say, Bahatanya, Hareza Mishtalem ala katan minagadova la gadom minakatan. Ah, there's a brayta that says he actually does have to pay the mazik, right? The mazik, each mazik has to pay, you know, at least what they claimed. So what are the answer? Ditafas. That's only in a case if the nizak grabbed the animal already. Remember, we've seen this lots of times. If he grabs the animal, then already he's in a different place. Now we're going to see the same thing again. Tnan, we're going to see the same thing with the other case in the Mishnah. We're going to go the exact same flow. We're going to say this raises a difficulty to Rabbi Renata. We're going to say Rabbi Uli Tova Einlo. Then we're going to say, but isn't there a Brita? And then we're going to say, it's the Tafas. So tznan, hayachad tam vechad muad, hanizik omer muad isikat hagadol v'tam etakatan. Hamazik omer loki elatam etakadol muad etakatan, because he wants to pay less, right? So again, I'm utzim mechaviru olav haraya, so what's the assumption? Halo mai teraya, if there's no raya, shachol kedam ramazik. The mazik tzim would at least have to pay what he admitted. Pamaychi timusorim ninu. So again, the answer, ra'oi li tol ve'inlo. And then they say, v'hatanya, but doesn't it say in a braita, harizem mishalem lakatam mina muadu lagadol minatam? Exactly as we saw before. Answer, ditafas. Okay, it's only if the nizak already was tofes, then we say, okay, well, remember, what happens if the nizak's tofes? So then we might take some step away from the nizak, but only, right, the amount, he's going to end up at the bottom line with the amount that the mazik, with the amount that the mazik had admitted to. Hayushnehen shel ishachad. Now we're moving on in the Mishnah, we had this difficult line. If both of them, remember, there were two shvarim attacking one shor, and both of them, both of them belong to the same guy.
Both
of the attackers belong to the same guy. They were both attacking one shor. They both belong to the same guy. Shnehem chayavim. So Amar le Rabba mi prazika le Rav Ashi. Shma mina shvarim tamim sheziku ratzami zegove ratzami zegove. This is a question. He's saying, could we infer from here that if you have a short time, what do we learn always about a short time? They're mishtalem migufo, from his goof. Now, which goof? Well, only the one that attacked is Meshua Ba. But what do we learn in this case? Shnehem chayavim, it sounds like he could take from either which one. So here we learn that if two shvarim tamim hiziku, if he wants to take from this one, he can. If he wants to take from that one, he can. So what does he answer? No, hacha b'mayaskinan b'muadin. Okay? By the way, what does it mean, ratzami zegove, ratzami zegove? That if one gets lost, then he can take from the other one. Okay? In other words, in our case, let's say he doesn't know which attacked. Are we to say that even though his goof is Meshuabad, right? So in the case where they're both in existence, so we could say, well, if you can't take this one, so take that one. You know, in other words, take one. Take one, and if it wasn't this one, it was that one. But if one gets lost, then what? Then the owner, the mazik, can say, well, oh, it was the one that got lost. Go prove that it was the one that's left. Okay, when both are in existence, you could say, well, I'm taking one instead of the other. But when one gets lost, you could say, oh, you know what? It was the one that got lost, and go prove it. It was the other one. And if you can't prove it, well, then you can't take my one shore that's left. So now, that seems to be difficult. So what do they answer? Hacha b'mayaskina b'mu'adin. No, it's talking about a shor mu'ad, where mishtalem in aliyah, and therefore he doesn't get paid migufo. It's not that the guf of the shor is mishuabad. And then he can take from either which shor he wants, because he's just going to pay damages, basically. He can pay damages in money, he can pay damages in a shor, it doesn't really matter. And therefore, if one gets lost, he still owes the money, right? And if you follow, if my shor damages your shor, and it's a short time, I pay from the goof of the animal. If that animal gets lost, I don't owe you any money anymore. Okay? So, therefore, they have to say it must be a mu'ad case. So, ibn mu'adim, if you're going to assume it's mu'ad, well then, ema seifa. If we move on to, we're going to assume that the whole thing's mu'ad. So then, what about the case of hayacha gadol v'chag katan? Hanizak omer gadol hizik, v'hamazak omer loki ela katan hizik, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. Min ibn mu'adim, my nafka lemina, sof sof demei Torah ma'alya by the shlume. What's the difference whether it was, whether the nizak said my big one hezik, the mazik said it was my katan shezik? What's the relevance of that? Who cares whether it was his gadol or his katan was mazik? He still owes full damages for whatever damage was done. It shouldn't matter, right? Remember, we assume the whole thing was based on the fact it was a short time. So it doesn't make sense to say that case is a mu'ad case. So what are the answer? What are you going to assume? Amarle seifa b'tamim v'reisha b'mu'adin. It doesn't bother us. We'll just say that one was mu'ad, and one case was mu'ad, one case was tam. Amarle ravacha sabal ravashi. Ibn mu'adin chayavim. Why does it say shnehem chayavim? Again, we get back to the difficulty of the lashon. What should it say? The owner is chayav, not the shvarim are chayavim, chiyav gavra mevayele. It should have said chayav, the gavra, the person, the owner. Vitu, my shnehem. It still doesn't make sense to say the word shnehem. So he rejects his answer. So what does he answer? Ela la'olam bitamim. They're talking about shortam. V'Rabbi Akiva hi da'amar shutfi ninhu. This goes back to Rabbi Akiva, which will be a good review because we're going to go back to this. Remember the two opinions? We're going to go back to this in the beginning of the next parak. Rabbi Yishmael says he's a Baal Chov, right? And Rabbi Akiva says, right, he just has to pay from the body of his animal, but he's like a Baal Chov. The Nizak doesn't have any rights to the shore until he gets paid, right? The Rabbi Akiva says there's shutafin in that shore. As soon as my shore gores your shore, and it's a shore tam, the two of us jointly share ownership over that shore. Bitama, and what's the reason then that shnehem chayavim? De'itnehu l'travayhu, de'lo matze madchile. So there's shutafim in the animals, but potentially, right, to one or the other. But only if they're both here in existence. Avalinuhu l'travayhu, but if one of them gets lost, okay, then matze amrle zil aite raya dehatorcha azakha v'shalem lecha. But if one of them gets lost, then the mazik can say, prove to me that you're the shutaf of this shore. Okay? In other words, if we say there's shutafin and both shvarim are there, so we can just assume arbitrarily, we'll say you're joint partners in one of them, because what's the situation? The mazik can't claim, we'll go prove it was this one over that one, because in the end he has a lien on one of them. It doesn't really matter which one. He has shutfut in it. But if one of them isn't there anymore, it gets lost, then he can say, well, go prove that this isn't the other one, like we said before. So therefore, we're going to say it's talking about a shutafim, where we assume it's shutaf, and therefore, he can claim, right, we're going to say, hamotzi mechaver alav haraya, and he can claim that it was the other one that got lost, and therefore, he can't take anything. Okay, hadron alach haminiach. Now we're moving on to shor shenagach. Okay, it's similar stuff. Shor shenagach harba'a v'chamisha shvarim zeh achar zeh. Okay, here we have, you're going to say right away, what do you mean? He's a shor tam that hits four or five times, one after the other. Well, if he's a shor tam, how could he be, right, so how could he be a shor tam? He should still be a shor muad. He should, at some point, turn into a shor muad after three times, or after two, depending on the opinion you hold. So what does this mean? Rashi says it means that, there's two interpretations, I'm going to give you both. Rashi says it means that he attacked, and then he didn't attack. If you remember, we saw that before, that you could go back to tamuto, that if you, you know, don't hit every time, you're in a similar situation, and then you don't attack, and then he did, and then he didn't, and then he did, and then he didn't, so that there's back and forth, and it's not clear, and you can't basically make him a muad. The other opinion says, no, it means that he, in order to be a muad, if you remember, we saw this, there were two opinions, that it's not just that the, are we focusing on the shore itself, is he what we call a dangerous ox, or are we focusing on the owner, that the owner has to know that he's a shor muad to know how to watch him better. Now, if that's the case, well, then it could be he attacked four or five times in a row, and they hadn't yet warned the owner. So the owner doesn't assume responsibility of a shor muad, according to this opinion, until he gets warned. And here there wasn't a warning. Okay, they didn't bring him to court and say, your shor attacked, etc. So either which way, we're going to have a case where he attacks four or five times. By the way, four or five appears. We saw this in Shabbat with the Mifanim. You're moving these chaviyot, I think it was. And four or five, there's like this whole thing about four or five. It's just a number that means a lot. Three is usually the typical number, and four or five already means more lots three, of times. Okay. Zeh achar zeh. Zeh yishalem, I'm sorry, zeh achar zeh, yishalem la'acharon shebahem. Okay, very strange shita. Who gets paid? Because now what's the obvious point? You're short, if you're a short time, you only have a certain amount of worth. Remember, you're mishalem migufo. It's mishalem migufo. So if you're mishalem migufo, okay, let's say the shore is worth 200, so at a certain point, you're not going to have enough to go around to four or five shvarim. The value of this shore is not going to, you know, assuming that there's not enough in him, we'll see what happens. But the first guy who's going to get is dafka not the first one who gets attacked. It's going to be the last one. Okay, we're not going to understand this yet. We're only going to understand it when we get to the Gemara. V'im yesh bo motar. Okay, so let's give a case where a shore who's 200 attacks a shore who's worth 200. And let's say every shore is worth 200. We'll just make a simple case. Every shore is worth 200. So what happens? The last shore is going to get 100, okay? Im yesh bo motar, if now there's leftover of the first shore, in other words, he's mishtalem migufo, from his goof, so he pays 100 from his 200 value, to the last guy. We'll see why later. We don't know yet why. Then, what does he have left? He still has 100 left. So how much damage did he cause to the one before him? Also 100. So we're going to pay to the last one 100, and to the second to last one 100. And then he's got nothing left and nobody else gets anything. Okay. Let's say it was a case where the damage was only 50 and he's worth 200. So then, again, yesh bo motar yachzir shalifnei panav. Okay? V'acharon acharon niskar. Okay, but the last one is always going to be the one who gets the most. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shur Shave Matayim, Shenagach L'Shur Shave Matayim, Ve'en HaNevela Yafek Klum, okay, like our case. Zenotel Maneh, V'Zenotel Maneh. Okay, so what happens now? Okay, this is going to be according to, we're going to see, but, okay, each one, we won't even get into who this is like it, we'll just explain it like this. Each one gets half, right? In other words, the shur hamazik gets 100, and the shur anizak gets 100. He now owns rights to the shur, right?
Which he?
The nizak. Okay? So now, chazar v'nagach shur acher, if this shur now goes and attacks someone else, shavem atayim.
He owns rights to the shur?
Well, he now has half the shur. He has a half the value of the shur. So now, if nagach shur acher, the shur, shavem matayim, ha'acharon notel maneh, so now he gets 100, okay, I'll show you how he gets it in a minute. The new nizak now, the second nizak, gets 100. B'shilifanav, and the one before him, zenotel chamishim suz, v'zenotel chamishim suz. What happens, basically? When we split it 50-50, so now the nizak has 100, right? He basically owns half the shur. So now when the shur damages again, he pays 50, and the other guy pays 50. You follow?
This first nizak and the nizak.
So the first nizak, right? We now have, it's like equally share between the nizak, the first nizak, and the mazik. So now when it damages someone else, right, they each have 100. So now, this guy gives 50, and this guy gives 50. So the new Nizak, the Nizak Shlishi now, I'm sorry, the Nizak Sheni has 100, because he gets 50 from each, and each of them are left with 50. You follow? Okay, now go down the line. What's going to happen next? So now, you can probably figure this out now, if you got it. So, right. So now, Chazar v'nagach shur acher shaveh matayim, ha'acharon notel maneh. So now again, everybody, right, this new Nizak has half rights to the shur. So he has to pay 50, right? So the Nizak Shtayim pays 50 to the Nizak Shlishi.
Why not turn everything?
No, because he has 100 right now. So he has half the shur. So he pays half, so he's left with 50. And the other two have a quarter, right? Because they each have 50 out of 200. So they each pay 25. Okay, so he ends up with 50, 25, and 25 from everybody. He ends up again with 100. And everybody else is left with less than what they had, right? Half of what they had. So let's read that inside. This is very much like what? Like the famous Mishnah in Ketubot with all the divvying up, and is it 33, 30, and how you do the divvying up? It's very similar. So, lefnei panav notel chamishim zuz, v'zeh notel chamishim zuz. Where did I see? Wait. Nagach shur acher shaveh matayim. Notel maneh v'shelefanav. Notel maneh. Hacharon notel maneh v'shelefanav. Zeh notel chamishim zuz v'zeh notel chamishim zuz. Chazar v'nagach shur acher shaveh matayim. Sorry, that's what I was up to. Hacharon notel maneh v'shelefanav chamishim v'shnayim acharonim dinar zahav. Dinar zahav is 25. Okay, 25 zuz. So now we want to deal with Rabbi Meir's opinion, which we didn't really understand so well.
But these are not two contradictory opinions. These are two separate.
They are, no. They're two contradictory opinions.
In the second case, it happened after, meaning you're not working backwards. In the first case, it's four or five times.
No, but it's still four or five times one after the other, though. It's still the same thing. It's just the way they just describe it better. They explain the Shita better, really. But it's the same thing. So now, matnitim mane. Now they want to know who's the Mishnah like. Really, what they're talking about is Rabbi Meir. Now you have to understand, Rabbi Meir's two rabbanim were Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, those were his rabbis. So now we're going to say, hey, Rabbi Meir makes no sense. Deloka Rabbi Yishmael or Deloka Rabbi Akiva doesn't match either of the shito. Why? Deika Rabbi Yishmael da Amar ba'alei chovot ninhu. Remember, he says the nizak has no rights to the shore, right? It's just that the mazik has to pay the nizak. He's a ba'al chov. So, hi, acharon niskar. Who should really get the money? Rishon niskar mebaile. It should be, if he's just a baal chov, well, then the first nizak should get paid his money first. If you have balei chov that are lined up in order of who's owed first, the first one's going to get paid, right? So that makes, you know, it doesn't make any sense then to say the acharon.
And if he's not a balei chov, if he's just a balei chov and not an owner, then he doesn't have to pay out once he's gotten some money.
Once
the first nizak gets paid the 100, he keeps the 100, he doesn't start paying out because he doesn't own the shore.
No. He owns the shore, but he'd only have to pay from the value of the shore. So he would pay 100 for the first guy, then he'd pay 200 to the second guy, and then he wouldn't pay any more because he's already paid up to the full value of the shore.
Sorry, I meant the first nizak gets paid.
The first nizak gets paid, exactly. He doesn't have to pay anybody anything because he's not a shutaf at all. Exactly. Ika Rabbi Akiva to Amar Torah de Shutfehu, right? That would be Rabbi Shimon Shita, basically, because they're shutafim, exactly like Ruth is saying. If they're shutafim in the shore, well, then he holds responsibility. So then, hi yesh bo motar, yachzir l'shadafanav, why would it say im yesh motar he gives to the earlier one? Lekula mibayle, he owes to everybody, just like we saw last time, right? Each person would have to pay to everybody, basically, and it would work out like Rabbi Shimon. So again, it wouldn't make sense. So Amar Rava, La'olam kirabi Yishmael, Damar balei chovoninu, udekashelach, acharon acharon nizkar, rishon rishon nizkar nebaelei, hacha b'mayaskinan, shetfaso nizak l'gvod himenu. V'nasa alav, shomer sachar l'nizakin. What happens now? What are we saying? It's a case, I told you this was going to come up again, where he's tofes. What happens? He owes the first guy. But he hasn't yet paid, and then his shore goes in damages, right? So what should we say? If we hold like Rabbi Ishmael, so he owes the first guy, right? And we shouldn't say the acharon iskar. So what happened here? Well, the Rishon took the money. He grabbed the animal. Now, he grabbed the animal, but the animal wasn't his to grab, because we're holding by Rabbi Ishmael, right? So he grabbed someone else's animal. Well, if you grab someone else's animal, so what's he saying? He becomes like a shomer sachar for nizakin. Now, if he's a shomer sachar, what does he have to do? He has to watch the animal. And if he doesn't watch the animal properly, he's responsible for damages. So therefore, when the animal damages, he has to pay up. And that's why the first one totally loses out. Because he grabbed the shore as his payment, but then the animal damaged, and he was basically a shomer sachar. Okay? And therefore, he pays when the animal damages, he gives the 100 of the animal to the next guy. So then they're going to say, well, ihachi yesh bo mutar yachzir l'shalafanav, if there's extra, it should go back to the guy before him. Yachzir l'ba'alim ba'ale, it should be, if there's extra left, it should go back to the original owner, because right, he took something that wasn't fully his. So Amar Ravina, hachi katani. Ravina says, so you misunderstood, or we all misunderstood, what it means, yesh bo motar. He's going to explain it differently. Im yesh bo motar benizakav, yachzir l'shalafanav. What does it mean, im yesh bo motar benizakav? Okay, if the damage done to the next guy was more than the damage done to this guy. Okay, so look in Rashi for a minute. Kigon shayan is a kosher ribi'i, miruba mishel chamishi. Kigon shorsha ribi'i shave mana, yesh lo b'mazik chatsi mane, v'shel chamishi shave chamishim, ve'en lo al zeh ela dinar zahav, yachzir dinar zahav l'shel fanav, v'chein kulam, im nizkosha rishon yoter ala acharon. One second, now I got confused by this. One second. Nizkov the Revi'i was Merubah Mishal Chamishi. One second, let me just get it clear here. This is. If the first guy, okay, let's. If the first guy was damaged 100, let's say, and the second guy was damaged 50, and the third guy was damaged 25, okay, the third shore. So if the first guy grabs it, he grabs the shore, he's now a shomer sachar. So he has to pay from his 100 to the next guy, but the next guy was only worth 50, right? So im yesh bo motar, so now he only has to pay 50 of what he caused, right? Or let's say the half damage is 50, okay, we're talking about the chatzi nezek.
So if he's supposed to pay 50, so he only pays 50 and he's left with 50. You follow? And if the next guy, what happens, and you have to realize that what happened in this case is as it goes down the line, every next guy was tofes the shore. But if the damage got less and less each time, then each one's only tofes part of the damages that he was owed. Right? In other if the shore is worth 200. The first guy damaged the first shore, chatzi nezek was 100. He damaged him 200, chatzi nezek was 100. So when the guy grabbed the animal, he only has rights to 100 of it. Right? The original owner has rights to 100. As it goes down, then the shore, while it was in his possession, damaged the next guy, 50. So who's responsible to pay that 50? The first nizak, right? So he pays 50 to the next guy, but he's left still with the 50 that he was tofes. If the next guy is tofes and he becomes a shomer sachar, so he now is holding this animal that's worth 200, of which he only has rights to 50 of it. When that animal goes and damages the next shore and the damage is only 25, then what's going to happen? So he owes the next guy 25, so he's going to end up with rights to 25 of it, right? You follow? He still has rights to 25. He has to, and the next guy, what happened? The next guy, again, was toe-faced the animal. So the next guy has rights to 25 of it. The guy before him has rights to 25 of it, and the guy before him has rights to 50 of it. You follow? In other words, they each might end up with something. Okay? That's what the motar means. It doesn't mean what we thought it meant earlier. Okay? B'chein ata ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum pshiat shomrim naguba. Okay? He's proving this point that we said, that it's all about the fact that he's a shomer sachar. It was a case where he was tofes, and he's a shomer sachar on it. Otherwise, according to Rabbi Yishmael, what would happen, which was Rabbi Meir would agree with, we're assuming, that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Yishmael, that if nobody was tofes, then the Rishon gets the money, and if there's leftover, the Sheni gets money. Okay? But nowhere past now. So now they're going to say, B'mayu kimta ki Rabbi Yishmael. So now you're saying that the ukimta is like Rabbi Yishmael. Ihachi ema seifa Rabbi Shimon omer shor shavem atayim shenagach shor shavem atayim ve'ena nevela yafa klum zenot hamana v'zenot hamana chazar v'nagach shor acher ze shavem atayim hacharon not hamana v'shalafanav zenot hachamishim zuz v'zenot hachamishim zuz chazar v'nagach shor shavem atayim. I'm sorry, I'm reading this quickly. This is just, we're basically just quoting Rabbi Shimon's opinion. It's good for the Daf Yomi to get through stuff quickly. Hacharon not hamana v'shalafanav not hachamishim zuz v'shnayim rishonim dinar zahav. Okay, that was the whole Rabbi Shimon's opinion. If we're going to say that this Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yishmael, what's the problem? The second opinion, Rabbi Shimon, is atan the Rabbi Akiva. Da'amar Torah deshutfehu. Right? And Reisha Rabbi Yishmael v'sefer Rabbi Akiva? Means, how could you say, now this is a very strange thing, because anyway the Mishnah is bringing two different opinions. So to say that one's lining up with Rabbi Akiva and one's lining up with Rabbi Yishmael to me doesn't sound so crazy. But what they're suggesting is, and if Rabbi Meir is holding within the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, then we're going to say that the whole Mishnah, right, is in the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, and how could you say then the same as Rabbi Akiva? So what do they answer? Amre in, deha amre le Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, shinina, shvok matnitim v'taba try, reisha Rabbi Yishmael v'sefer Rabbi Akiva. What does he say? Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, you very smart child, leave this Mishnah and go with me, because this Mishnah is not a good Mishnah, because the Reisha holds like Rabbi Yishmael, and the Seifa holds like Rabbi Akiva. Which means that it's problematic that it's like that. However, it's like that. In other words, we know it's like that because Shmuel said it's like that. Okay? And then there's this Itmar Nami, whether we read this or not, it's debatable whether this is part of the Nusach of the Gemara. It's not. Itmar Nami, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Hikdisho Nizak Ika Benai. What would be a nafkamina between them? If the Nizak was Magdish the animal, because remember we saw that before. If you hold that he's a Shutaf, right, then we're going to assume that he has rights to be makdish the animal. If he's not a shutaf, then he doesn't have rights to the animal. Okay, we'll stop here because this is a whole different topic we're going to start on, and it gets into currencies. It's going to relate eventually back to our Mishnah, but it's going to talk about currencies just to give you a little background. We learned about this last time, that there was kesef tsuri, which was higher value money, and kesef medina, that was lower. It was like one is based on, the Kesef Atsuri was based on real silver, and it was worth 8 times the amount of the Kesef Medina, which just had like Nechoshet mixed in with the silver. It wasn't real silver. It was like, had all sorts of stuff mixed in. It was more like art coins that they're symbolic of value. So
What they want to know is what value, there's some case they're going to bring, and they're going to say, how do we know what value they're talking about when they say, Asela, what do they mean? Do they mean from Asela Medina or Asela from the Kesef Atzuri? And then they're going to try to prove it from our Mishnah.